a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Though often tested, tormented and tested, and like a prophet my bill alone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Thank you. As the praise band comes up front, I just want to remind you that we only have two more Sundays after today to love on the votes. According to Hoyle, they tell me that they can't come to church after they retire. So we have two more Sundays two more Sundays to love on them. So Sharon is going to play the flute today. Sharon and Curtis are going to have the special music. So love on them today and next Sunday and the next Sunday, because we won't see them, although I am going to talk Sharon into coming back and playing the flute once in a while, I think. Why don't you sing while we, why don't you stand while we sing, I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
I'll sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost is saved to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. My Redeemer and his sacrifice. sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid my debt, and made me free.
You may be seated. There are a number of announcements that are not in the announcements here today, so I will forego some of those so that you can hear the ones that came to me today to say they would like announcements. I will say what some of them, what they said. Good to see you this morning, first. Just what I thought. There's nobody here. Oh, it's just trying to get some kind of response there. You know what this month is? It's September. This is the last Sunday in September. What's September been really about? Good.
Jesus.
What about Bob Floss? He is here even today. If you have not given him a card or a note or whatever you want to give to him, just to let him know. The best thing is just letting him know how much his piano ministry, music ministry, has meant to you over the years. Because he resigned a couple years ago already. So I just want you to know that this is where we're just kind of putting some finality of closure on his ministry, because we haven't had a chance to do that yet. So Bob? Yes? No, it's not yet. We're just glad that you have been so much in the part of people's lives here over the years. And I know there's some people, they come to hear you play, not to hear me speak. So that's a good compliment, that you have meant so much to a lot of people here. And I hope what you read, the things that you receive from people, I know you take that to heart. And it's been a joy for me to be here with you, working with you, you know, since I've been here, that coming in the door, you'd always be going, Bob, 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 Bob. And I knew that was you had arrived, and then you would be on that red moped, remember? You'd look like the Red Baron coming in here with your moped. And it was just a joy to be with you, and I'm glad I'm still a friend of yours. At least I think I am. To this day as well. So yeah, it's September is Bob Floss Appreciation Month, and so give whatever you can. If you've given already, that's wonderful. Thank you for that. One other thing is that the Bible study that's been going on, the recap, they're starting this week on the New Testament. And so you can jump in at any time, and they'll meet on Thursday night at 6:30. But you can start, like, this Wednesday will be the starting on the New Testament. You can start reading there. If you've got any questions, see Patty Griffiths if you've got any questions about that, and she will gladly explain that to you. And also, there's baskets as you came in on tables out here in the foyer. That is just it's a free donation. You know, there's a little jar out there that you can put your donation in. Doesn't matter what that is. Everything's going to go to Next Life Foundation, the ministry in Tanzania that, what's his name?
Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence Laban. Is it Laban? And Patty Griffiths have kind of started together over there, helping ladies learn how to sew and guys how to make furniture in Tanzania. So keep that in mind. That's just out there. For you to know that that's why it's there, and thankful for everyone that would like to take a basket and give some donation or something like that. It's completely up to you. Thankful for that. Terry Dirks has an announcement that she would like to make. I didn't say that, but I'm glad somebody did.
All right. Can everybody hear me okay now? Yesterday, we had a group of people here that included Lynn Ann, Vicki, Lynn Ann's and my friend, I think I call her my friend, Heather, Kathy and Carol, we were all here cleaning out those tables in the back. We got them all cleaned, I think all of them cleaned. We're gonna hold off on the chairs until spring, and we'll steam clean those. All of the carpets in all of the church, except for here in the sanctuary and upstairs, have been steam cleaned. This will be done on Monday. And the reason the cushions have not been done yet is because he was afraid that as old as that material is, that it would rip the fabric on the seats. And since we just put new Velcro on them and stuff, we don't want to do that. So he was researching different ways to do the seats without them being wrecked. So he's done that. He'll come in Monday. Hopefully we'll get everything done so that we have a week to dry. And I just want to thank everybody for their hard work. So thank you.
Here. Thank you, Terry, very much. But yeah, you've done an awful lot, the property committee has, over the years. You know, there's new carpeting in, well, you know the new carpeting, what it used to look like compared to what it is now. It looks wonderful. Thank you for doing that. And the no streakers were here. Yeah, the windows were all cleaned again. That door out there needs some help, though. It's must have been from Saturday or something like that. It's spotted over there, but but that's just me. I just like clean windows wherever I go. I remember Donald Trump saying this months ago. He said when he was just a little boy, his dad told him, if you want to go into eat at a restaurant, go by the door that goes into the restaurant. If it's dirty, then that means the kitchen's dirty too. So don't go into that restaurant. Find one that's got a clean door. And so I go like, oh, I remember that when I see that door back there. But glad that you're here today, and just want you to know that there is a men's breakfast is coming Saturday at Perkins here in Milford, as well as a women's Bible study that is going to be starting here called Hidden. And you need to sign up today or by Tuesday of this coming week if you want a book or a study guide to go with that. And they will be beginning on Tuesday, October 7th at 9:30 in the Fireside Room. You can't miss it because the only door that's open is the south door. Come on in and take the first left, and you're in the place where you need to be. That's just for the ladies. And so that's all the announcements that I will make. I don't know anything about Kevin Belkin. I haven't heard how he came out through the open heart surgery up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I heard that if they open you up in Green Bay, they'll plug you with cheese. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. You know, Bonnie went up there to be with her son, Kevin, up there. So, and Marlis Reeser, she passed away down in Urbandale, Iowa. And so just want you to know that that has taken place. Just Donna Bosher told me about that here on Thursday. I didn't know anything about that, but just to let you know that she would come on occasion here to the church and was always a very nice lady, very nice, and concerned about her husband, Jim. She's more concerned about him than she was concerned about herself. But I didn't know that she was dealing with anything herself, but I did see her up in the hospital here about a month and a half ago. It must have been in August. I went up there to see her, and she was just bones. So she was dealing with something she had no control over, but she was bedridden, but she was still concerned about her husband, Jim, wanting to make sure that he was taken care of. She wasn't concerned about herself. She just, Jim, can Jim stay here in my room, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, and she's been that way, I'm sure, till the very end. But that's just a little bit of Marlis, of what she was like. I always enjoyed her when I would see her here at the church as well. That's all the announcements that there are here today. You can read the rest that are in the bulletin. And I'll just have a word of prayer with you as we turn it back over to the praise band here this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for every person that comes through the doors today. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we can hear, what's going on in the church, and people helping and taking part in different things. And it's just a real joy to know that you are in the midst of it all. We pray, Lord, for our time here this morning, that it will be one that will change our mindset. If we came with a mindset of saying, well, it's Sunday, it's just time to go and go to church. Lord, I just hope that that's changed, to say, like, we've come here to spend time with you and to meditate on your word and to be challenged by your word today, as well as the songs that are being sung, and that you would work in a way here this morning that will change our lives here as well. And so we pray and ask these things, that you would be with Kevin as he recovers from open heart surgery, be with Bonnie, and maybe it's Deb, her daughter that is with him too. I have no idea. But you know all that's taking place there with him. And may he, as he lies in a hospital bed, he has nowhere else to look to than to look up, and that he would see Jesus in his life here today and the days ahead, that he would just see that you're an awesome God and that there are people praying for him and that he senses your presence in his life like he's never sensed before. It's better than going fishing. It's better than catching a walleye or a lake trout in one of the big lakes up there. And so we just pray that you would be with the Reeser family as well as they make the arrangements that happens in times like these. May your presence be with the whole family as well as those here that knew Marlis and loved her deeply because she loved Jesus as well. And so we pray these things, that you would be in this service today, work in a way that only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship says this. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. I thought I got mixed up there. Typical. Call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains is faithful forever. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. On the
10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord.
I think you're done, aren't you? You can have a seat. Because I know we have Sharon and Curtis coming up later here, right after the responsive reading. The responsive reading today is just something that came through my little old brain this week. Thinking about missions and why we have missions. And so this is what was on my mind this week. What is the mission of the Christian church? What does every mission have in common that all other missions in the world? Depending on the country, a missionary needs to learn how to communicate with the people where God calls the missionary to go. Think about all the different languages in the world. Some have never been written. Yet there are people who God has called and are gifted in translating the people's language into their own tongue. Just want to do a little commercial break here. One of the things I remember of a missionary talking with a chief in a tribe in Africa many years ago. He was saying, the chief was saying to him, look at all these ants on the ground. See them moving? He goes, how can I talk to them? The only way I can talk to them is if I myself become an ant. And then I can go and communicate with them. And that's what missionaries do. Missionaries have to become like the people who God has called them to come and share the good news with them, who've never heard many times. Only God can become known through someone willing to go and another person's prayer. How will God reach those around us who have never heard or don't want to hear this good news?
Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows how fine. He sees each tear. He understand each lonely heartache. He understands and always cares. Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and only needs supply. Yes, He knows just what I need. My Jesus knows when I am burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, He knows just what I need. One other friend seemed to forsake me when skies are dark and hope seems gone. By faith I feel His arms about me and hear Him say, "You're not alone." My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and name needs supplies. Yes, He knows just what I need. Yes, He knows just what I need.
He knows just what I need. Could that be today? God knows what you need. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word. This morning comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to the end of the chapter. You've heard it many times before. Hear it again. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar. Heard this before? Yeah. Named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bring us into the sandals of one of these guys. May we see ourselves in this text here this morning, and may it not just tickle our hearts or tickle our innards, but may there be a conviction that comes knowing that you are speaking to us here this morning, like you always do. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Most pastors would probably shy away from this text. And I had some of those temptations too. But I go like, you can't. It's in the Bible. It needs to be heard. It needs to be preached on. So the message today will determine where you will spend eternity. And I point, you know, when I point to you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. It has a lot to do with me too. One of the biggest fears as a pastor that I've had for many years is I don't want anyone to ever die and stand before God to say that they never heard the gospel. They never heard that they needed to be saved and how to be saved. I don't want none of you to ever have to stand before God and say you never heard. Because God will then say, "Well, what about Pastor Tim Voth? Didn't you hear his message?" And then he probably would probably even show them a picture of me. "Know this guy? You heard it from him not only once, but many times." So don't give me that excuse. I don't want anyone to have an excuse that they haven't heard about Jesus Christ and what he did for you and for me. And he rose again from the dead and gave the Holy Spirit to be able to live for him, because I was not a guy that knew anything about the Bible at one time. I didn't know beans. I went to Sunday school on occasion. I did listen to a pastor preach on occasion. But I didn't know anything what was in the Bible. So I'm glad to hear that there are some of you that are reading through the Bible and are wanting to learn more what is in it, because I believe it is very important. So today's message has a lot to do with who you are, and do you know where you are going when you die? Because everything in this life, especially if you're a Christian, it's all temporary. This is really not our home. The best is yet to come. If you're a Christian, you have that hope. We're told that many times by Jesus in his word. Hope will come only through him. Now, if you are an unbeliever, then you are like a wolf in sheep's clothing. you know what to say. You know what words are acceptable and how to behave when you're around other believers, or if you're in church, you kind of know how things are done here. But you're still an unbeliever. How many times do you have to hear God's word and to keep your heart closed or think about something else, rather than allowing the Lord to speak to you where you truly know what repentance is, which is just saying, I'm sorry. I have failed. I'm a sinner. I will always fail as a sinner. But praise God, he sent his one and only Son to come to us. It's God who is looking out for us. He comes. How many times has he come to you throughout your lifetime, wanting you to receive him and to believe in him? You're in for a big surprise if you're an unbeliever here today. And you might be surprised, like we find in what we read to hear together today, the rich man. He was really surprised. It's a parable. And what a better way to end kind of talking about parables. You know, remember the first time we talked about parables, it had to do with the prodigal son. Remember? The younger son wanted his inheritance from his dad, and his dad gave it to him. He went off in wild living and spent it all and ended up eating, well, probably not eating so much. He said the pigs ate better than he did. He was starving. And then he had an older brother. When he came home, he came to his senses. He went back home because people loved him and cared for him. His dad welcomed him and kissed him, even though he stunk like a hog. But the older brother stayed outside and was angry that his brother came home. Who was it that went out to talk to the older brother? Dad, who is God in the parable. So we had a couple of Sundays. We talked about the younger son one Sunday, and then we talked about the older son last week. Here we find two people again. There's a rich man and a guy who can't even walk. He would have to have someone, maybe some of his family members, who knows, but somebody would take him and set him in front of the gate of this rich man and would just leave him there. How can you be so close to a billionaire and not know the guy, or the billionaire being so close to this beggar and not know his name and don't do anything to even help him? Happens in Iowa too, doesn't it? Happens in Milford, Spirit Lake, Arnold's Park, Okoboji, you name it. People don't know one another. As people don't talk to one another. As in this occasion here, the rich man never talked to the beggar. We know he was wealthy because he was dressed in purple, and purple is a color in Scripture that represents not only royalty, but it meant somebody with some kind of cashola. They could afford the top notch of clothing, where the beggar would just have probably rags at best. But the wealthy guy, the billionaire, he had good dress in fine linen. He knew nothing but luxury in his life. He had everything you could think of. He had the best. Just like the young son in the prodigal son in that parable. He had everything. Thought he had the world by the tail. And yet, he had nothing. The beggar, whose name is Lazarus, which is interesting that his name, Lazarus, means God helps. He experienced just the opposite in his life. He had poor health. He needed people to carry him to the rich man's gate and leave him there. Somebody would come in the evening to take him back. Well, he was always dependent on somebody else. Much like being in a nursing home for some people. Can't do nothing. And waiting for someone to answer their light as they push the button, or waiting for someone to come to help them. Just even to go to the bathroom is all they want. And sometimes they probably don't even make it there. So someone else has to come and clean them up. It happens, my friends. It happens every day, even here in Milford, Iowa, and around the world many, many times. Do you ever think about that? The beggar says he was covered with sores. He would just look, whatever would fall off the table of the rich man's table, he would say, like, that would be enough for him. But he was very hungry because he never even got those crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. Do you know who his friends were? Did the rich man have any friends? No human beings. Dogs. Dogs were probably his best friend. And they would come and they'd lick his sores. Now, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But dogs, in Jewish society, viewed dogs as the same as we look at rats. You don't like a rat, do you? If you see rats, you know you're living in a bad place. Rats are seen as unclean, wild, and worthless. And that's just the way the Jewish society looked at dogs. Same way. They didn't like dogs. And here you have a dog that would come to this beggar and lick his wounds. If it brought comfort, I don't know. Did it bring pain and agony? I don't know. It doesn't say. Just that they came and they licked his legs because of open sores and wounds. So you have two guys, one very wealthy, one very, very poor that he was begging. And they lived near each other. They knew about each other. How many times did the rich man ever walk down to the end of his road or go past the road seeing this guy laying there or sitting there? And did he ever stop and talk to him or help him? Doesn't say. Did the beggar ever look up to look at this guy's face? Or maybe hold something up and to just rattle it, saying he wants something, it could use something. I don't know if he even did that. Doesn't say. But they never talked to each other. Never did. They lived in two different worlds. So close and yet so far apart. But the big equalizer comes for both of them. Do you know what that is? Death. They both died. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. You're going to die. That's us too. We're going to die. It doesn't matter what you have, what you own. Death is no respecter of the rich or the poor. It doesn't care how old you are or how young you are. It'll come and does come. But death came to both the beggar and to the billionaire. And so now we see a little bit what happens after you die. We get a picture of it right here. This is what takes place after we die. If you're a believer in Christ, you have nothing but good to look forward to. The beggar went into Abraham's bosom. He was close to Abraham. And if you notice, Lazarus never says a thing in what I read here. It's always Abraham talking to the guy that's in hell, which is the rich man. Lazarus doesn't say a thing. Jesus is our advocate. He is the one who speaks on our behalf. He's like an attorney. A person can be as guilty as sin, but will not say guilty. They just let their lawyer say everything for them to try to get them off or a lesser sentence. Death came to both the beggar and the billionaire. And I want us to notice the first thing with the beggar. Let's take a look at him. He died, and it says that his body was, well, it doesn't say that. He died, and there's nothing said after that. Just that he died, but then he was met by angels and carried to Abraham's bosom. Another name for Abraham's bosom is heaven. But he's met by angels the moment he dies. How can a guy that is in that kind of rough shape still have a faith and a hope in that kind of a circumstance? You can go to Akira Healthcare Center and go to some of these rooms and you see people that can't even talk, or it looks like a coma. They don't even know you're there. He died, and so did the rich man. It just says that the rich man, when he died, that he went to hell. I don't want you to think now, okay, because I'm rich, I'm not going to heaven. No, that's not what it's saying at all. It's always about a relationship that you have with God. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you believe and trust in His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to die for your sins, for you, your sins? You should have died on that cross, not Jesus. And then He rose again on the third day. Jesus did. Victory over sin, death, and Satan. And He changes our lives to live for Him here on earth in ways that would amaze you as well. One of the things in Jewish society that if it was a beggar in particular, if they died, you know where they would take them? Somebody would have to take them to the landfill, a little valley called the Valley of Hinnom, and they would just dump the body in the landfill or the refuse of the city that would be torched. It would be on fire. You'd have a smoke, a constant smoke coming from that valley because that was the landfill. And that's where they would take the body. They would just dump the body into this landfill, and they would just get burned up. Somebody took care of them. The rich man, on the other hand, probably had a nice, shiny casket. Had a lot of people who came and mourned for him, and he had five brothers, that would have gone to that funeral. Many others who knew the family would come. They probably dressed in pretty nice stuff. But it says that the rich man, even though he had all of that stuff, where's he at? He's surprised because he knows he's not in heaven because he's in torment. You see, in the Jewish mindset, if you were well off in life, it meant that God was for you. You are okay with God because you are a good person. You've got money. You've got wealth. You've got luxury. The beggar would look to be upon is that, oh, that person did something against God, and so God doesn't like this person anymore, and that's the reason why he is like he is. Jesus comes along and says, uh-uh. It's the relationship you have with God. And here is one, a message that is also given to the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? A religious group of people who thought they had everything they needed. They were the best, you know, they were the best friends to Jesus or to God that you could ever find. And yet they were the ones that were always a pain in the neck of Jesus throughout his entire ministry. And so now when we hear, when Jesus preaches this story or gives this story of the beggar and the rich man, he's hoping that the Pharisees will see that he's talking to them. We find also that he says that it is the billionaire, the rich man, who is able to see that Lazarus was on the other side, in right next to Abraham's bosom, his chest, his side. And that's where the conversation begins. He cries out, and all he wants is one little drop. Just one little drop of water, because he is in torment and just wants one drop on his tongue. There is no comfort in hell. Not even a drop of comfort. That's why you don't want to go there. That's why you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he argues, or he just, maybe he's not arguing, he just says, Father Abraham, have Lazarus come. Now he wants Lazarus to come to him in his state of being in torment. And it's kind of like the tables have just been turned on this guy. He once had everything in this life, but when he died and went to the next life, he couldn't even get one drop of water. And Lazarus has everything. The richest man ever. Right next to Father Abraham. Place also known as heaven. So the best is yet to come if you're a believer. I shared this with my mother many times as she was deteriorating in her apartment this year. I'd say, I'll pray with you, Mom. And she said, yeah, please do. And I'd always remind her, Mom, the best is yet to come. Believe in Jesus. Hold on to him, because he's holding on to you. Even if you don't feel like it, he's holding on to you. Because that's the way he is. He loves you. One of the other things we find in eternity, especially if you are in hell, there is no answer to prayer. You can ask anything you want. You're not going to get it. In the midst of also the pain and the suffering that's going on, you're not going to be met by any angels. You're going to be met by demons. That's a place for them. It's a place called Hades. Now, Hades is not the real hell. The real hell is in Revelation at the end. And that's really reserved there for the Antichrist and the false prophet, the lake of fire, and the demons. So Hades is Greek for the abode of the dead. It's kind of like, that's where you go now. But it's going to get worse. You ever get thrown into the lake of fire? Just in closing, when the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house and to warn them about the place where he is himself, he doesn't want his brothers to come where he's at. Send Lazarus, have him warn them to stay away from this place of agony and torment where I'm at. And Abraham says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, if you don't listen to God's word, then it's not going to make any difference if someone from the dead comes back and talks to them. Jesus, remember, rose again from the dead. Did he ever have any belief and trust in Jesus Christ in his lifetime? No. And so he says that even if he would send Lazarus, his brothers wouldn't believe anyway. Send someone back from the dead, then they'll believe. That's in the rich man's mind. And he's not so rich right now. He didn't have a relationship with God, and so therefore, when you don't have a relationship with God, then you also don't have any compassion on others. And that's the Pharisees. Religious, yes. Wanting people to have a relationship with God? Kinda. But Pharisees, remember, love to be seen by other people for their own benefit. They would make long prayers in places where people could see that they're praying. They would wear different kinds of robes that would let people know that, hey, they are somebody special. And Pharisees wanted other people to be more like them. They never went down to where the people really were. They always expected the people to rise up to be like them. And if they weren't like them, then they'd stay away from you. Having much doesn't mean that God is pleased with you. And that God's word is above all other authority. You can have rules and regulations, and they can be helpful. You can have rituals that can help us to concentrate on what is meaningful in life, especially within your own life. And traditions can help you keep chaos from taking place. I don't know if you notice it, being here today, there's order here, isn't there? It's not chaos. There's order. You read the bulletin, you find the bulletin has order. It's not chaos. God is like that. He's a God of order, not chaos. The devil is chaos. If we don't listen to Moses and the prophets, if we don't listen to God's word, we have nothing to look forward to except what the rich man is experiencing or did experience. If we are like Lazarus, we know that the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. Keep that faith. Hold on to Jesus. Keep trusting in him. Even when it hurts, you don't give up. you believe in him, continue to do so. Because God's word can never be replaced. Never. Hold on to God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that we learn about the afterlife, because it makes us make a decision then on where we are at in our relationship with you. Lord, this is a comfortable area to live in, here in Milford or the Lakes region. There's other places in this world and in this state and in this country where it's the same thing. As people today, Lord, are looking for convenience and for finding comfort. And they think that that is what life is all about. That's what the rich man thought until he died. Lord, I speak to those who are here that are going to die unless Jesus comes again. But only those that believe in Jesus Christ are going to be caught up into the air with him and others who have a faith in Christ. The ones who are left behind, it'll be too late. Today is one of those times, Lord, where we want to make sure we know that we are standing with Jesus Christ and believing in him. I thank you, Lord, for these friends that you've brought into our lives over the years here. I want to see all of them again in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for those that I've had their funeral service for. Some I don't know where they were in their faith. But there are more that I do know that they had a faith in you. Those are the easier funerals to do. And yet it's a difficult time. Because it's hard to let go. But if they have a faith, we know we will be with them again someday. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would use what was said here today in a way that will bring glory to your name, and that no one here can say that they did not hear, they did not know, that they needed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to get to heaven. We've just been given a little glimpse of what happens after death. What if it would be me today? May we ask that to ourselves. What if it was me? Will I be like the rich man, being surprised? Or will I be also surprised to be by Abraham's side, to be in heaven? One of the great mysteries. So may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. May we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. Comes to us from Numbers, the last verse in Numbers 6, chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Wait until you hear the last song that Karen will play, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Do you want us to sing it, Karen?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll sing it together. And when we're done with that, I'll tell you, go in peace and serve the Lord. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What on the everlasting arms. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Hello, hello, hello. I left a message on your
Thank you. You didn't mess it up. Nobody knew it.